you follow me. And in my mind, I was thinking, well, I could be 10% wrong. You know, I mean, but I mean, that's not the point. The point is, he's 90. And God was saying, no, we're not dealing in percentages. Will you get that spotlight off of him and turn it right back on yourself? Because we're going to talk about you. And it was as though he was saying to me, I can handle him. Let's talk about you. And so when I started thinking through on my own attitude, you know, it was amazing. I began to see how stubborn I was being. And so when we got home, I went to my room and got alone with the Lord. And I said, Lord, I ask your forgiveness for my stubbornness and not being willing to listen to what Jim had to say. And felt God's forgiveness. And then I went and made things right with my husband and everything was fine. But I never forgot that little situation, because it revealed to me how that having God's word in my heart, God very quickly could just bring it to my mind and speak to me. And you know, that's when your relationship to the Lord begins to get closer and more intimate, is when he's able to speak to you as well as you to him. Well, and then there's the prayer spoke. When I think of prayer, I really think of two-way communication. I think of me talking to God, but I also think of listening, and he speaks to me through his word. Sometimes he will just give me direction in my heart. He will give me some ideas of how I may go about a certain situation through prayer. Some of the best ideas I get are through prayer. In fact, the best ideas I get, I would say, are just as I'm praying. God will clarify things and he'll bring things to mind that I don't get in the busyness and the rush of the day when I'm out in it. Just to give you an illustration in the area of prayer and how that we ought to, you know, really take God into this area of our lives. I don't know about you, but I often find that I'll go sometimes 2 and 3 days struggling with a problem, and as I think about it, I haven't even asked God to help me. I mean, no wonder I'm under the weight of it. And God all that time has been standing there waiting for me to bring him in on it. And I am too blind to even realize what I'm doing. One day when our youngest son, who's 17 now, was about 5 years old, I was in the kitchen and he was sitting over at the table in the kitchen. And I had been trying to use the phone for about an hour or so that morning. And I would kind of go between the sink and the phone, back to the sink, back to the phone, like that. Every time I'd pick up the phone, I'd pick it up and it would be dead. And I'd hang it up and I'd go, and I'd head back for the sink. So he sat there watching this go on. And one of these times I started over for the phone and Jimmy says, Mom, hold it, hold it. And I looked over and he said, have you prayed about that? I was caught. And I said, well, no, kind of half defensively. And he says, you know, Mom, he says, you always tell me we ought to pray about everything. And I had nothing to say. And he said, before you do anything else, he said, let's just pray right now, Mom. And so he bowed his little head and folded his hands and prayed the sweetest prayer. And I don't have it word perfect, but I remember the gist of it. He said something like, Dear Jesus, Mommy has a lot of phone calls to make this morning, and it's really important for her to get this done. And Dear Jesus, I pray now that you'd let the telephone work, and that the next time Mommy picks up the phone, it would work. In Jesus' name, amen. And he says, it's okay now, Mom. The phone will be all right now. And boy, as I walked to the phone, I prayed one of these Peter prayers, help, Lord. And I just said, Lord, if you have ever answered a prayer for me, let it be now, so this little boy's faith is not destroyed. And of course, I walked over, I picked up the phone, and I had my dial tone. But you know, I learned something important that day from my son. He was teaching me that day. I was not teaching him. And I just thought, Lord, I feel rebuked. I am amazed, Lord, how often I don't ask you for things that I need and you're just waiting. Forgive me and help me to really become a woman of prayer who takes you into every area of my life. When my husband and I first got married, he prayed about everything. I mean, we'd get in the car to go to someone's house for dinner, and he would say, let's pray before we get there that God will make us a blessing to him, and we won't say anything that would offend with our lips and so forth. And then we'd be ready to make some small decision, and he'd say, well, let's pray about that first. So it seemed like every time I turned around, he wanted to pray about something. And I remember in the beginning, it kind of irritated me at first. I found myself thinking, gee whiz, he has to pray about every single step we take here. And, you know, there was just kind of a wrong spirit in my heart. And then one day I got to thinking, you know, that's why he is where he is spiritually, and that's why I'm where I am spiritually. And I put two and two together there. And I began to appreciate his emphasis on prayer, and I learned from my husband in that area. Now we pray about everything together. Sometimes it's just a 10-second prayer, other times it's several minutes. It just depends. But he has built into my life in that way, and I've been the benefactor of it. Matthew 26:41 says, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." How true, huh? We want to pray. We say, oh yes, I know I should pray. But we really have to fight our old nature. We have to make time to do that. And we don't feel like it even when we have the time or make the time. And we have to push through that invisible barrier and say, Lord, I'm not going to go on what my feelings are today. I'm praying because I need to talk to you and I need to listen to you. So no matter how I feel, I've already made the decision, God, I am going to spend this time with you in prayer. And you know, feelings are an interesting thing. They eventually have to follow along. But if we put our will out ahead of feelings, feelings may kick and scream and make a fuss, but eventually they just have to trot right along and follow because we've brought them under control in our lives. Then the third spoke is the spoke of fellowship. And when I think of Christian fellowship, I don't think of sitting down over a cup of coffee and talking about what the latest episode on the soap is. And it's not two guys sitting together and discussing the ball game score. That's not what we mean by Christian fellowship. I mean, those, you know, sitting down just casually talking with a person has its place. But what we're talking about here is a fellowship in the Lord. It's kind of like in Proverbs 27:17, it says, iron sharpens iron, so a man or a woman sharpens the countenance of her friend. And it's that sharpening effect when we begin to share what God is doing in our lives. If I were to sit down with Peggy and say, you know, Peggy, what's happening in your life these days? What are you getting from God's word? And she were to share with me something she's getting, that would be sharpening for me. See, I'd be learning from her. And that's what real Christian fellowship is. It's sharing together in what God's doing in your lives and what you're learning from his word. And it's also fellowship, I believe, has to do with accountability. I think these days, probably more than any time, we need to learn to get into each other's lives. And Irma touched on that this morning, that so many Christian leaders falling morally, and other people as well. And, you know, my husband and I have been in counseling with couples for a number of years now. And almost every case where there has been immoral impurity involved, we can trace it back to a lack of accountability. It's kind of like a bonfire where all these coals are burning. And you take a big stick and you reach over and you pull off one coal by itself. How long does that coal stay lit? Not very long, does it? And I think the same thing is true in our Christian lives. We need fellowship with one another. We need to get into each other's lives and learn to hold each other accountable. We need to sometimes to ask hard questions. And this is something that you do easier with someone you feel a little closer to, where you have established a friendship. But sometimes it's asking hard questions like, hey, I noticed that you seem a little depressed lately. Is there something going on that you need to talk over? You know, do you need someone to pray with you? I'm available if you do. And just to learn to be sensitive to each other and draw each other out and be available. And I have a couple of friends, two or three friends I can do this with. And my closest friend, of course, is Jim, my husband. And every once in a while, we will say to each other, I'll say to him or he'll say to me, do you see anything in my life that you feel is inconsistent with what God wants me to be at this time? Just anything, big or small or whatever. And then to be open to what that person says. Don't try to defend yourself when they bring up something. Just keep still and listen to what they're saying. And even if you can't see it yourself, just say, well, you know, I'm not aware of that, but I sure want to think about it and pray about it and ask God if that is happening. And, boy, it's amazing what you can learn if you'll make yourself a little vulnerable and you'll let other people into your life and do that for them. Malachi 3:16. Well, first of all, Hebrews 3:13. Did I give you that one? I did? Okay. Malachi 3:16 and 17 says, then they that feared the Lord spoke often to one another. Then it goes on to say, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And then he even got his book out and recorded it. Isn't that amazing? He was so impressed. You know, usually when you're impressed with something, you whip out your notebook and write it down. Well, that's what God does when we speak to one another in Christian fellowship. God's impressed with that. And he's saying that we should do that. Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10 says, two are better than one, because if one falls, his friend will help him up. And then it goes on to say, woe to him who falls who has not another to help him up. Boy, that's about as clear as it can be, isn't it? We need each other. We need to have accountability relationships. Some people have this through a small group of, say, anywhere from 5 to 8 people. I think the smaller the better, personally. And sometimes you have it just with one other person, your husband or another close friend. But whatever way we approach this, we need it in our lives. We need to feel like someone can ask us hard questions tactfully and lovingly, but that they can do that and that we can do that with them as well. And then to keep confidences too. Don't forget that little when someone shares something with you, boy, guard that information, because it was not easy for them to share that. And it's hard on me if I feel I have shared something with someone that I thought I could trust, and then somehow it's gotten around to someone else. That's hard. And so we need to guard the information that others share with us. And then the last one, the witnessing spoke, of course, has to do with outreach. When I think of witnessing, the thing that always comes to my mind first of all is that witnessing is taking a long look, a long, hard look at Jesus Christ and telling others what you see. It's getting to know him and what he's like. And then the more you know him, the more thrilled you are with who he is. And then your cup is full and overflowing, and there's enough to spill off onto other people around you. And I can remember the day when even the word witnessing just petrified me. When I would hear some minister say in a message, well, how many souls have you won to Christ this year? And I'd sit there and, you know, I'd want to crawl under a pew. But I came to realize over the years a couple of things that helped me. And one is that I can't change a life. Only God can change a life. And that God only holds me accountable to share his word with someone else and to pray for him and to love him. And that he'll do the changing of a life. And you know, that took a pressure off of me, just to realize what was my responsibility and what was God's responsibility. And right now, our third child is not a Christian. He's 17. He's a senior in high school. We have a good relationship with him. He comes in almost every night, flops across our bed and talks for 10 or 15 minutes, and we prop our eyelids open and listen. But we've made a vow that as long as he wants to talk, we'll listen, because we want to love him to Christ. Now, he showed signs of being a Christian when he was younger, but it became obvious that he was not, and he would tell you that he wasn't if you asked him. But just to love him and to pray for him and to hold him to certain responsible behavior and then just to leave him with God is the approach we've taken. And it is amazing how we've seen just a real softening just in the last couple of months with him. I don't know how long it'll take. I don't know God's plan in his life. But I know that if we love him and pray for him regularly and trust God, that God will do what only God can do. And that I am not responsible, basically, beyond that. Because God has to do the miracle level stuff. Isn't that great to know that? He has to do the miracle level stuff. I'm not capable of doing that. But in our own lives, I think as witnesses, ask that God will give you two things. One is a love for non-Christians, a love for those who are lost. And ask him to give you just a radiance that they will see Christ in your face, in your life. And I really think when you really love people that second thing is just kind of a result of the first. But people need to feel loved and accepted. I heard someone say one time that people do a lot more suffering than they do sinning. Because when you give Satan an inch in your life, he always takes a mile. He never takes just an inch. And non-Christians, people who are separated from God, many of them are feeling very guilty and they're feeling very lonely, and they need us to reach out in love to them. I had an interesting experience. One time I went into a department store, and as the clerk was waiting on me, it was kind of like God's tap on the shoulder. I had told God, I said, "Lord, if you'll bring it to my mind, the people you want me to witness to, I'll witness to them. I'll share you with them in some way. It may be just a few words. It may be handing them a Gospel of John or something, but I will share you with them." And as she was waiting on me, God just brought it to my attention that I needed to say something to her. And I fought it off, and I paid her, and I left, and I went down the down escalator, and all the way down to the first floor, I had this awful feeling. You know, when God is telling you to do something and you're resisting him, it's a very heavy feeling. You feel very uncomfortable. And I finally got to the bottom of that escalator, and I said, "Okay, Lord, I'll go back. I won't get any peace till I do." So I went in the up escalator, went back upstairs, and had to wait until she finished waiting on another person. But then I went over to her, and she says, "Oh, I'm sorry, did you forget something?" And I said, "Well, as a matter of fact, I did." I said, I don't know exactly how to say this. I'm not sure I understand it, but I said, I just felt like when you were waiting on me that it was God just speaking to me and telling me that I should just talk to you about him. And you know, the most interesting thing happened. You'd think she'd think, "Well, who is this kook, you know? What asylum did they let her out of?" But you know, that is always Satan trying to discourage us. And I find people far more open than I give them credit for being. Occasionally someone just doesn't want to hear anything, but you know, most people will listen. And when I said that to her, tears, big tears just started running down her cheeks. And she says, "You know, you're not going to believe this," but she said, "I am a Christian," but she said, "I'm a very discouraged Christian because of some things that are happening in my life." And she said, "This morning before I left for work, I said, 'Lord, will you please send someone in my life today that will just share a little about you with me, because I just need some encouragement.'" And she said, "You're the person." And she said, "I can't thank you enough for taking the time to come back." And I said, "Well, I was disobedient. I almost didn't." And we stood there and talked. She wasn't busy, so we stood there and talked for 5 or 10 minutes. And when I left, she was so encouraged, and I was so encouraged as well as rebuked for my laxness in obedience to God. But I went away thinking, "Lord, you know, if I would just obey you, you really do know what you're doing. And if I would just say yes immediately to you, there are some wonderful opportunities in store for us." I'm meeting on every Tuesday morning now with a Chinese girl at OU who is studying microbiology, and I'm helping her with her English. And you know, it's amazing. This is why we're getting together, is to help her with her English, with her vocabulary. And she is absolutely delighted to have someone to take the time to help her. You know, so many of these international students are just longing for someone to take an interest in them and to help them with something like their English, because they're struggling. They're not only tackling a difficult subject, but there's a language barrier there. And so I asked around and found out someone that wanted help with her English, and that's how I got her. And as we meet each Tuesday morning, we spend most of the time on helping her with her English. But then I always reserve a little time to share something about the Lord with her, and she's becoming extremely interested. And in fact, she made the statement recently when she asked what work my husband and I were doing, and I told her we were there to work with international students and to help them in any way we could. But I went on to say, especially to help them to know how much God loves and cares about them. And she turned to me and she says, "Perhaps I too shall know God someday." And then she said, "I have so many benefits from Him." Well, she knows about zilch about God. She doesn't know very much. And so I've had to start by going back and filling in some background from the Old Testament to kind of bring her up to where Christ is. And I'm kind of getting up there now. And then I'll be able to go into the gospel with her. But I thought, what a tremendous opportunity God has given me with this young girl. And, you know, there may be opportunities in your lives if you will take a little initiative. Just pray. That's what I did. I started out by praying, "Lord, show me. I want to share you with someone. Will you please give me some ideas or show me what to do?" And that's when that idea came, was to ask and see who wants help on their English. So pray, first of all, that God will show you some opportunity that you could take advantage of. Well, when is this to be up? When are we to be through here? 1:45. Okay, our time is just about up. And I really don't have time to go ahead and finish this, but let me just mention a few things quickly as far as the results. And I'll give you the verses and let you kind of fill in by reading them later and meditating on them. But one of the results of having a balanced Christian life, having an intake of God's Word and prayer, fellowship with other Christians, and an outreach in your life with Christ as the center, is that you come to know Jesus in a close and intimate relationship. And I'll tell you that, the longer I live, the more I come to know Christ, the more excited I get. I mean, there are some days where I actually feel almost hyper, and I just have to say, "Now, Lord, settle me down now. I don't want people to think I've gone off the deep end here." But it really is an exciting life. And there are days when you're discouraged, too, and you just have to come to God and say, "Lord, I am heavy today. I just need you to get me through this day." And wherever we are, though, there's that close, intimate relationship where you can talk with Him, and you know He's there with you, and He's helping you. Psalm 103:7 is one verse that you can look up later. And this verse talks about the fact that the children of Israel knew God's acts or His deeds, but Moses knew His ways. And there's a big difference there. You can see things that God is doing in the world, but then to know Him and know what He's like, to understand His character. And when it talks about a God of goodness and forgiveness, you know what that means. That's a different thing. That's where the intimacy begins to come. Then Exodus 33:13 says, "Teach me thy ways that I may know thee." See, that's what Moses prayed to God. That's why he knew his ways, because he had asked God to teach him his ways. And then Isaiah 43:10, "That you may know and believe me." That's exciting. And then it may mean moving some things out of our lives to make room for God. There are certain things I have laid aside in my life that I'd like to be doing right now, but right now I can't. And sometime later I may be able to pick up on some of them, but right now God has given me certain priorities and I have got to make room for those or be the loser in the long run, because I have to keep thinking in my life, what is going to matter in light of eternity? Whether I get this cross stitch done or whether I really come to know God and I'm learning how to help other people. See, I have to decide that, don't I? I heard someone say one time, you cannot be as close to Jesus as you want to be. Did you ever stop to think about that? You can't be as close to Him as you want to be. You can only be as close to Jesus Christ as you choose to be. It's a matter of choices in our lives. We can say, oh, I wish I were a Christian like so-and-so. And God says, sorry, but you're going to have to make some choices if that's what you want. And then another result is that we're able to help others. And I'll tell you, it is such a thrill to be able to help someone. You don't have to be a spiritual giant to help another person. You just have to be a little ways ahead of them. If you're memorizing, you've begun to memorize some scriptures, then you can take another person and begin to help them, encourage them in doing the same thing. So don't get overwhelmed with some lofty thought that you have to be a superwoman to help another person. God says, whatever you've got, begin to share that with another person and bring them along where you've come. In 2 Timothy 2:2, it says, that which you have seen in me, commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. It's the idea of what we're taking in. We don't become like the Dead Sea, where there's no outflow, but we pass on what we're getting in our lives to another person. Ask God to give you one person, just one person. Don't ask for five or six or two or three. But just say, Lord, is there one other young gal who would like to grow that I could help her in some of the things I'm learning in my life? And just begin to start with prayer. Always start with prayer. And give God a chance to show you what to do. Don't get an idea and then run and ask God to sign on the dotted line. Lord, this is what I want to do. Will you please cooperate with me? Don't do that. I did that for a number of years and nothing happened. And God finally got my attention. We start with prayer. And then the last result I wanted to mention is the idea of stability. That in having a balanced Christian life, you will find in your life, as I'm finding in my own life, that there is an increasing stability more than I ever used to have in my life. There is more of a confidence in God and more of an awareness that it's His strength and power through me, not my own. So I don't have to get insecure because it's Him that's got to come through, not me, to other people. Isaiah 50 verse 10 says, who is among you who fears the Lord, who obeys the voice of His servant, who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. See, there's a verse of encouragement that says, if you're walking in darkness and you don't have any light, trust God. Just trust Him. Keep your eyes on Him and He will give you a stability. He'll take you through this and you'll be stronger then for the next thing that comes along. Well, I think that is our cue to wind up here. So let's just have a brief word of prayer.